I will say, just starting off, that while I will talk a little bit about Mobile Christian School and what we do, I hope to share with you a broader perspective of Christian education in general, and hope to share some things with you that hopefully will help you appreciate the work that goes on. I will say, it is a difficult work. We talk about mission fields that are easy, and mission fields are difficult. If you do not think that the mission work is difficult, ask some of these that, like Eric and Andrew, that can speak to it a little bit better. Or if you'd like to go sit in one of the classes, I'm sure Miss Kathy would love to turn over her class to you, or Miss Patrice a little bit, and see what kind of progress you can make. So again, my point here today is not to be a marketing tool for a Mobile Christian School, as much as to educate about Christian education and the opportunity that is there through Christian education. I do appreciate this time slot, you guys asked my boss to speak right after me. So we'll see how that goes, but Terry Kekel is the chairman of our board, and so I guess he can clean up whatever I mess up through that. But on Terry, I will say that he is one of those examples that is living proof of Christian education, and he is one that came to Mobile Christian late in his educational journey in his life, but was a graduate of Mobile Christian School, went on to Faulkner University, and has recently graduated from there again with his master's, but is a living, breathing example of what Christian education can do. And he has impacted quite a few people himself, both teaching at Mobile Christian School when he was there, as well as preaching and serving as a youth minister prior to that. And so he is one of those that I could say, see what Christian education can do, and sit down and be quiet, really. Let's share a few things with you. The scriptures do say in Matthew 28:19-20, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So when the Bible says go, where does he mean go? Many times when we talk about this, we think about foreign mission works. We may think about preaching from the pulpits, but where does it mean go? Sometimes we might even think about reaching those that we work with, and sharing, using friendship evangelism to share with those that we come in contact with. But I'd like to present to you today that go can also mean to young people, and to try to reach them. And if you want to look at what can be effective, we could sit here and analyze and think about, okay, if we're going to go, what's the most effective ways to go? What's the effective time frame to reach people? And I'd venture to say that Christian education is one of the, can be one of the most effective tools that the church has. And that's why I'd like to share with you. And in essence, verse 20 is a follow-up to that initial instruction of going. It's not just a matter of going and telling, but it's a matter of follow-up, that teaching part, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And this, in essence, is what Christian education strives to do. Couple disclaimers for you. I have worked at a Christian school for 22 years. Before that, I did work in public schools. So I can say I am a little biased, and so I want to share that as a disclaimer. I am not against public education. Where I grew up, my dad was a preacher, and the different places where we live, I did not have the opportunity in elementary or middle or high school to attend a Christian school. There was not one convenient to us, close by us. I did have the opportunity to attend Faulkner University later and benefited from that experience and feel like it has impacted me. But after Faulkner University, I initially worked for 5 years as a math teacher and coach in public education. And I know we have strong Christians in public education, and we need strong Christians in public education. So I don't want anything in this to come across that I'm against public education by any means. However, being someone that did work in public education, when it came to a choice of our family for my kids, my wife and I started looking around and were wondering, is the environment that I was working in, is that the environment that I wanted my kids to grow up? And for those 22 years, since that time, when my wife was expecting, I've now worked in Christian education. And I told our faculty just last week, it's a little weird because for 21 of those 22 years, I've had a child of my own in the school where I've been serving. And so this year is a little bit weird for me. In that our youngest daughter is now a senior, be graduating, so she is planning on attending, I believe right now, Harding University, and furthering her education in Christian education. And so this is the first time we haven't had someone to register for the school that I'm working in. Third disclaimer is I do not have the specific data from congregations in Mobile, and furthermore than that, I have some data of Mobile Christian School students and characteristics of our students right now, but I do not have the data of once they leave. It was mentioned that I'm working on a study, and one of the things I'm doing is working with another Christian school that is in the Brotherhood, that we are studying their graduates and how effective their school was in fulfilling their mission and once their graduates left their school. And I hope that that work and that effort will be a benefit to all Christian schools one day. And so in a couple years, maybe I'll have a little bit more information to share with you that way. But today, briefly, what we'll do is take a look at 2020 vision, looking back and looking within and looking at the benefits of Christian education. And we'll also briefly look ahead. So a couple things I want to share with you, and this will be a little bit different than maybe some of the other lectures that you'll hear today and this week. I do want to share with you some statistics about the Churches of Christ and some trends that are there. I will say these are not enjoyable to look at, but I think they're beneficial for us to look at as we consider this topic. And in particular, I want to share some of these things because they also correlate with enrollment in Christian schools. And so we're going to share some of that with you as well. Some of this information you might have seen in the most recent Christian Chronicle last week came out. And it just so happens that Trace Hebert from Lipscomb University is the head of the program that I'm in right now. And he does serve as elder in the church in the Nashville area. And I think a lot of the work that he does and him personally. And he really strives to further Christian education. And I'm thankful of his work on that side. And so I did email him and ask him last week, would he mind if I shared some of this information with you? So I'm going to share some of his information with you today, and I want to give full credit to him on that, as well as we'll look at a couple other studies as well, just to share with you. But if you'll notice, in 1938, this is not just with Churches of Christ, but this is church membership among U.S. adults. There were about 73% of U.S. adults back then that said that they were a member of a religious body. If you jump all the way over to 2008, basically 10 years before this, you notice that that had declined to 61%. But in the last 10 years, you notice that it has dropped to 50%. Now, again, this is not members of the Church of Christ, but this is just religion in general. So you see, and sometimes we talk about America being a godly nation, you see the decline that we have, that just in religion in general, that church membership has dropped to 50%. In particular, if you notice the last 5 years, the decline is accelerating. We hope that that changes. I hope that this topic this week helps that. And so I don't want to be one of doom and gloom. One way to look at these statistics is there's 50% out there, half of everybody, that has no religious affiliation right now. So there's not these barriers holding them to previous religion. And that's one way to look at this data. And so I wanted to share that with you. We do want to look at by generation. And what some call traditionalists, those born 1945 or earlier, notice that 89% of them have, this is not talking about church membership, but religious preference, which is a little bit looser there. And, but you see that the generations decline, and the millennials, those born between 1980 and 2000, there are 68% of them that have a religious preference. Now, let's talk just a minute about those with no religious affiliation in the U.S. In 1998, there were 8% with no religious affiliation. That means that if they were given a census survey or they were asked to write down their religion, there wouldn't even be one that they would even put on the form. They would say no. In 2018, there were 19% of those in the U.S. with no religious affiliation. At Mobile Christian School currently, we have 20% of our students that on their admission forms, their parents did not put down a religious affiliation at all. And that doesn't mean necessarily that they don't have one. It's that they didn't put one down. So, again, we're talking about the harvest here. And we see that close to 20% of those do not even have a religion that they would call affiliation. Now, let's look at a few specifics as it pertains to the Churches of Christ. According to the 21st Century Christian publication, Churches of Christ in the United States, and again, this is, to our knowledge, this is the only set of data, the only research that's being done on the Churches of Christ right now as a whole. Now, we do have another census that's coming out, and there will be some of that information that will be available eventually. The number of congregations has fallen by 1,103, or 8.5%, from 2000 to 2018. This is talking about the number of congregations. So from 2000 to 2018, you see that decline. And we're going to call them adherents, and that is a loose term. We're not talking about necessarily those that attend every week, those that would probably consider themselves members of the Churches of Christ. And this is the information there. That has declined by 13% from 2000 to 2018. Notice the last three-year interval has dropped by 4.77% compared to the previous 2 years of 2.2%. So that decline is accelerating and has more than doubled the rate in the last 3 years. Again, we hope that that's just a temporary situation, it is information we need to take note of. And as I go through this, I want you to consider your congregation and where you attend. Are these statistics the same as where you attend? I don't have those stats. I don't know those stats. Most of the time we would just have feelings about that. But it is something that we need to take a look at. A couple things, other information. 65% of the congregations have 99 or fewer adherents with an average of 47. So 65% of the congregations of the Church of Christ have less than 99. And if you took an average of those, it would be 47. Out of that number, 35% have 49 or fewer adherents with an average of 29. So you may say, well, what does this have to do with Christian education? What does this have to do with your topic that you're sharing? Number one, I feel like we need to know the trends of what's happening in the Church of Christ and in religion in general. The reason why I started with religion in general is because other faiths are also looking at this information, and they're concerned about this trend on a national basis. It is alarming, concerning. But within the Churches of Christ, it is also concerning. Within our own congregations, it's concerning. But what it has to do with Christian education is, for someone that works at a Christian school, okay, let's look at the size of the congregation and what type of congregation, what size of congregation normally has young people. Is it the congregation that has less than 49? Is it the congregation that has less than 99? As a general rule, the larger congregations usually have more youth emphasis and more resources to have maybe youth ministers, and therefore have more youth. That's not to say that there are not smaller congregations that have youth, because we know that to be true as well. If we look at trends and future, these are the things that we're talking about today. And so certainly someone that works in Christian education, these are things I need to look at. And these are things Dr. Hebert did for all the Christian universities. And so he was sharing this information with the presidents of the Christian universities. In Psalm 78, in verses 5 through 8, the scriptures say, "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn. Arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God." So as we look at those results, what's our reaction? Do we throw up our hands, throw in the towel, wave the white flag? Or do we say, guys, we've got to do something. We need to make sure that we are passing on God's word to the next generation. And these scriptures even indicate that the next generation doesn't have to be like their parents. I hope that my kids are better than I am. I'm thankful that my kids have had more of a Christian education than I did. So my hope is that they'll turn out stronger, even more strong than I am. And so that should be our response, how we should react. And not that we would put less emphasis on the next generation, but that we would put more emphasis on the next generation. Because one day we're going to be gone, and they're going to be here. And if we want the church to be here when we're gone, we need to emphasize that next generation. So let's look just briefly at education in the U.S. In the early years, education was only complete when it included religious teachings. Matter of fact, most of the early schools were held where? Within church buildings. And a lot of times were taught by church leaders. Or at least held in there. So it was not complete unless it included religious teachings. In the last 50 years, though, any religious discussions in public schools has been under attack. Now, I don't want to say that it's not there, because I know we have good Christian educators that work in public schools that try to do what they can. And they're able to have those private conversations with those that they have. When I was teaching and coaching, I was fortunate to work in an area where I could get by with having devotionals with my teams before we played. And they were receptive of that. And I didn't get much kickback. But we also weren't able to broadcast that. And had I done so, I'd probably been under attack. And we all know those examples when they are in attack, even in this area, when those things have been under attack. Now, let me ask just a question. Would you tolerate false doctrine here? If I were standing up and preaching false doctrine, or last night or tonight, there was false doctrine being taught, would we tolerate it? And the answer is no. Would we tolerate it in our churches anywhere? The answer is no. The question is, why do we tolerate it every day for sometimes our kids to be brainwashed day in and day out with an atheistic mindset, with false doctrine? And sometimes we look at it and they say, oh, I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. And again, I'm not knocking our Christian teachers that are there, because they're trying to do what they can. But the curriculum is set up to be atheistic. It's false. Let's call it like it is. It's false doctrine. It's anti-Christian. And sometimes we're just set up to be okay with that. As a result, in education in the U.S., Christian schools have been formed, particularly in the last 50 years. Recently, there has been a push to include religious teachings back in the public schools, and I'm excited about that. There's some recent Supreme Court cases and some right now in front of the Supreme Court that are good, and we like those directions, even though there is always kickback on those things. But let me ask you this. Is that what is best? Do we want our kids receiving religious instruction from just anybody? What is that religious instruction going to be if it is okayed? What kind of religious instruction will be there? We need to think about that. And so I just give you these things as food for thought. So I want to share briefly with you some thoughts on a 2018 CARTIS Education Survey. The Barna Group and the CARTIS Group are both think tanks that do a lot of research in the U.S. on religion in general. They recently, in 2018, just finished a survey of a lot of different people. And they looked at trends from those that graduated from Christian schools and compared to those to people that did not graduate from Christian schools. And they shared some information that I just wanted to share with you. Again, this is not my research, but I think it's helpful to look at as somebody other than me just stating some of the benefits of Christian education. Graduates of Christian schools are more likely to be married and have children. Is that important in today's time? Unfortunately, marriage is not talked about a whole lot. On the TV, we see where cohabitation is okay or homosexual behavior is okay. But graduates of Christian schools are more likely to be married and have children. They have higher frequency of attendance at religious services, read the Bible more frequently, and more likely to tithe. And so this is from their survey, a few benefits here. Graduates of Christian schools are more likely to agree that they have an obligation to defer to the spiritual authority of church leaders. More likely to say that they hold a job that fulfills God's calling in their lives. More likely to make more decision-making in terms of God or Scripture. They have a stronger sense of gratitude. They're more likely to believe that they can find spiritual peace even in the midst of life's problems. One of the problems with our youth today is there are so many more emotional issues and mental issues out there. And one of the things I was pleased to hear from this is that even though we are seeing an uptick in those things at Mobile Christian, seems that graduates of Christian schools do believe that they can find peace even in the midst of life's problems. More likely to try to strengthen their relationship with God and believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. A few other points. They're more supportive of the view that the Bible is infallible in matters of faith and practice. They're more likely to be born again. And this is, again, a national survey here. Higher numbers of hours volunteering in a congregation and donate financially to a congregation. So again, as we go through these things, think about where you attend. Sometimes we don't always know the connection that people have to Christian schools. But one of the things that is apparent to me, and again, I do not have stats here on this, but as I look around the congregation where I attend, if you look at those that are involved, there is a higher percentage of those that have some affiliation to Christian education, whether it's a Christian high school, elementary school, or a Christian university. It's a higher percentage of those. Again, I can't speak for other places, and I'm not trying to make inferences where they don't belong. But it's just some food for thought, something to consider. Graduates of Christian schools, according to the survey, do evangelize strangers, have a close friend that attends their congregation. As a dad, that's important to me. Want to make sure that my kids' friends are the right kind of friends. Now, sometimes that can be a negative thing. Sometimes it may appear to be, okay, they're in a clique. But as a parent, you want your kids associating with somebody that they can have religious discussions with, that they are on the same wavelength, so that hopefully they're not bringing them down, but encourage them to get stronger. In Acts 22, we have an example, if you will, of a religious school. remember Paul, I'm a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in the city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God as all of you are today. So what was the name of that school? Was it Gamaliel Jewish School or Israelite School, Gamaliel School? I don't know. But we do know that Paul sat at the feet of someone to receive that instruction. And it was not necessarily his parents that did that. Now, in no shape or form am I trying to advocate that or relinquish our responsibilities as parents. We do have that responsibility of parents. But as a dad, one thing I had to look at is, could I do that all on my own, or did I need help? And brothers and sisters, in this day and time, we need all the help we can. Our kids have so many pressures that we need all the help we can. We need to put our kids in the best position possible to be successful. And again, I know people that have sent their kids to public schools that are great model Christians, and I'm a product of that. Again, when it came to my kids, that was a decision we made. So a little bit more research here. Enrollment at some of our Church of Christ affiliated institutions. And there were 13 Christian universities that participate in this survey. They do it annually. Dr. Heber has done it for several years and relayed this. I do not have any stats, and that's by design. I don't have any of those stats of particular Christian universities. But the total enrollment of these 13 Church of Christ institutions is 35,300. Now, that sounds like a lot, and that is a good number. But just to put in perspective for you, University of Alabama enrollment is 38,563. Auburn University, 27,287. So our Christian universities combined basically is about the size of a large state university. And that's concerning. That's concerning. If we know that products of Christian universities are usually more involved in local congregations, more active and those kind of things, then why don't we have more there? More information on this, and I won't go through all these things, but out of those last year, out of seniors that graduated last year that went to a Christian university, that were affiliated with the Church of Christ. In other words, those that graduated from our churches all around the U.S., 20% of them went to a Christian university. This is last year's senior group. 20% of them went to a Christian university. And so as we look at the future and we look at our kids and putting them in the best position, these are things I just want to share with you. In the last 3 years, undergraduate enrollment at institutions affiliated with the Church of Christ fell 7% from 25,000 to 23,300. Now, I will say that enrollment at universities as a whole is dropping slightly. Just with the economy is strong, there are people that are able to get jobs without a bachelor's degree. And so we have a lot of universities are experiencing a decline at the undergraduate level. And so I want to mention that disclaimer. But graduate enrollment increased 19% among those are affiliated with the Churches of Christ. So students affiliated with the Churches of Christ enrollment at Christian schools has declined 57.9%. Since 2000, 57.9%. That's pretty scary. If you think about, though, if you think about the church and its attendance, it has declined. And so we see the results also being with those students that are affiliated with the Church of Christ. Mobile Christian School, the number is about the same. But the percentage is lower. In other words, if we look back at our stats from 20 years ago, those students that are affiliated with the Church of Christ here, right here in Mobile, the number of students that are coming from our local congregations is about the same. The percentage as a whole is less. That percent is right at 20%, and that percentage is less. What that tells us is that the school has grown, but our churches have not grown with those young people that are affiliated with the Church of Christ. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, we're told, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Basically, we're told that our kids should be inundated with the Word of God. Everywhere they go, when they rise up, when they go to sleep, everywhere they go. Should we say, okay, everywhere except for school? Listen to God's Word everywhere except when you go to school. Let's not listen to it then. I appeal to you that it should be all together. A couple of things about the opportunity. And as we look at the topic of reaching out through Christian education, Christian schools have a captive, willing audience. Now, we don't tie them up, but they are willing. They, matter of fact, they pay for it. So we have people that expect to be taught the God's Word when they come to a school like Mobile Christian School or one of our Ambridge or any of our Christian universities. There's a captive, willing audience there that we need to take advantage of. There's also a potential snowball effect audience is what I call it. There's a lot of Davids around. My name's David. Ironically, my son-in-law's name is David, and that creates some problems. But a couple years ago, I'll remind David Sargent, there were three Davids down in the water of baptism. David Sargent, myself, and there's one of our grandparents was also a David. But David Sargent had several studies with him. A couple of our teachers had studies with this individual. I had the opportunity to have some discussions with him. And he finally made the decision to become a Christian. I'll always remember that because he was scared to death of water and he didn't like to swim. And he was just terrified of getting his head underwater. So it took three Davids in the water that day, right in this building. But that was one of those effects of Christian education. It wasn't just the students. This was a grandfather that passed away a few years later, but had been reached through Christian education. So Christian education, the opportunity to receive a complete education with chapel daily and Bible classes daily, and every subject being taught from the Christian perspective, everywhere they go to be taught through God's Word. Even through extracurricular activities, we want those things to come out. Think how much Bible knowledge can be shared over the course of 19 plus years with daily Bible teachings. Mobile Christian School starts at 3 years old. One of the previous schools I worked at, one started at two, one started at one. But if someone starts at three and goes all the way through the 12th grade and then goes on to a Christian university, then think of the number of years that they can have of Bible teaching, the intense Bible teaching from daily. I value all 4 years of my experience at Faulkner University and I sat at the feet of some wonderful men that shared God's word. But can you imagine if I would have had that opportunity to have it every day I was growing up? I wish I had that opportunity. I'm thankful every day that my kids have had that opportunity. So I ask you, is this a mission worth supporting? It's one where it's reaching a number of people. Just as an example, at Mobile Christian School, we have 730 students every day that can listen to God's Word being taught every day of the week. I tell you, if we had any work here, I don't care what it is, any work affiliated with the Church of Christ, where we have over 700 people coming together to listen to God's Word, it's worth supporting. It's worth encouraging that. So I've shared this information with you, but I want you to look at it in a different way. So if 37% of those that attend Christian universities are affiliated with the Church of Christ, what percent are not affiliated with the Church of Christ? Is that a mission field? Is that a work worth supporting? Absolutely. Think of the opportunity that is there. It's not just a matter of strengthening our own, if you will. It's reaching out through Christian education, and that's what we want. Another study, just real quickly, in 2014 that I looked at, is there is a natural decrease of religious affiliation in the college years. When people leave home and they go off to college, there's a natural, I won't say natural, there is a decrease in affiliation. And this study looked at that and saw that there's also a decrease in religious activity. But one thing that this study did find, excuse me, is that there is an increase in individualization in religiosity. And what that means is there are some that are constructing their own set of beliefs rather than accepting a prescribed set of beliefs provided by institutional religion or the religion of their parents. Now, for those of us in the Church of Christ and we look at our kids, that scares us. But for the opportunity that is there, this is exciting. What that means is that young people at that prime age are hungry and they're willing to look at their own faith. And that means that it's a prime target audience for us to try to reach them. And that's what I was just sharing with us today. This is the breakdown of our students and who they are affiliated with. You notice that we have about 20% that are affiliated with the Church of Christ. I want you to look at this unknown category of 20%. And that is exciting to us. Now, the others are exciting as well. We don't look at this as a negative. We look at this as an opportunity, as a positive. Every day when Andrew or Eric teaches their kids, it's an opportunity that they can speak God's word to those every day. And they are getting more religious influence through our Bible classes every day than they are getting religious influence from their churches, if you will, if you think about it. So they're receiving more teaching from the truth, and that's the opportunity that we want to look at. And so if we want to change those trends here in Mobile, if we want to change the trends in your congregation, if we want to change the trends in the United States, I feel that one of the ways we can do that is through Christian education. In closing, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, remember, Paul said, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. As we look at our kids and our grandkids, we hope that we can instill our faith in them. In verse 15 of chapter 3, Paul also said, "And how from a childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." We hope that our kids somehow, whether it's through school or through home, or however we can do it, that they are acquainted with the sacred writings, because that is what is important. So finally, how can you help? I encourage you to pray for the work of Christian education, not just at Mobile Christian School, but for all those that are teaching God's Word. Send your kids and your grandkids to Christian schools, Christian universities. Find a way to help them go. Encourage others to consider Christian education. And yes, it is expensive. However, all the Christian schools I'm aware of, particularly in this area and in the state of Alabama, operate and spend less per child than the public schools do. And so while it is expensive, it's as affordable as it can be. And it's actually more affordable than what we're spending as taxpayers on public education. Also encourage you to support financially, individually, and collectively as you can to support Christian education. I appreciate the opportunity being able to share these things, and I hope that I have not offended anyone about public education, but hopefully have been an advocate for Christian education. Thank you so much.